And in Checks in History this week with David Vaughan, we look at fascinating wartime documents that reveal Churchill's plans to destroy German villages in revenge for the Nazi massacre in the Czech village of Lidice. We look behind the scenes into Churchill's war cabinet and see how the shockwaves from the Lidice massacre reached as far as the corridors of power in London.
On Radio Prague, we have often talked about the wartime destruction of the Czech village of Lidice in June 1942. It was one of the milestones in the history of the Second World War. In later years, German atrocities on a far greater scale came to light, but the murder of the entire male population of a very ordinary Czech village far behind the battle lines was the first major Nazi atrocity to come to international attention. The Nazis themselves made no secret of their crime, as their own broadcasts in the days after Lidice bear witness.
Nachdem die Einwohner dieses Dorfes durch ihre Tätigkeit und durch die Unterstützung der Mörder von SS-Obergruppenführer Heydrich gegen die erlassenen Gesetze schärfstens verstoßen haben...
The massacre caused outrage among the Allies, and this is where documents now released by Britain's National Archives in London are so interesting. They show how the British War Cabinet responded to the massacre in the days that followed. The documents in question are notebooks written by Cabinet Secretary Sir Norman Brooke and recording details of War Cabinet meetings from 1942 to 1944. These notebooks give us a fascinating fly-on-the-wall insight into what was going on as ministers discussed everything from military strategy to the question of what to do with Hitler, were he to be captured alive. As far as Lidice is concerned, the crucial meeting was on the 15th of June 1942, just 5 days after the massacre. In the immediate aftermath, the Czechoslovak president in exile in London, Edvard Beneš, reacted with shock.
Heydrich is, so are hundreds of innocent Czechs, among them women and youth under the age of 18. So are all the men who lived in the little village of Lidice. Their mothers, their wives and sisters are in a concentration camp. But in our own records and in the records of humanity, the name of Lidice will loom large. Lidice will live forever.
It is likely that prior to the 15th of June cabinet meeting, Churchill had already had a meeting with Beneš. From the War Cabinet notebooks, we can now see that, like President Beneš, Churchill wanted revenge, and we sense his deeply emotional response to the massacre. Stephen Twigg is head of academic services at the National Archives in London.
The documents cover 1942, and we have an entry for the 15th of June 1942, where Churchill has been talking to Beneš. This is just after the Lidice massacre. And he informs the cabinet that he would be very keen to mount a reprisal attack by the British Bomber Command in a ratio of 3-1, taking out German villages to demonstrate Britain's repugnance at this and to act as a deterrent for possible future massacres. This was discussed by the cabinet, and the notebooks give, in a sense, a blow-for-blow account of who had an opinion in favour, and who were against.
And so can you give me an idea of the atmosphere of this cabinet meeting? Because it's something that obviously at the time was incredibly secret, and it's quite exciting today to be able to sort of kind of, as it were, be a fly on the wall and see what was going on.
Indeed, these notebooks are extremely vivid in their account of what went on in cabinet. The previous material that we'd had been sanitised in a certain way. It gave a bland view of who said what, but not in detail. These notebooks, which have just been released here, give almost a blow-for-blow account of what the Prime Minister said, what the various other members of Cabinet said in response. We have here, starting off with Churchill, who almost demands that Bomber Command undertake this raid. 100 bombers, he was demanding, should fly into Germany and wipe out 3 German villages. The Deputy Prime Minister Attlee was very much against this. He thought that we shouldn't be competing with the Germans for atrocity's sake alone. Bomber commands, I think, were in many ways a witch on this, even though they thought it might be a diversion from the major war effort. There was also discussion from the Home Secretary, who thought it might bring a reprisal attack from Germany onto to British villages. So it was a great discussion on whether this should occur or should not occur. The cabinet, I think, was split. There was Churchill, almost, you can see him almost thumping the table at one point, demanding that this goes ahead. And you see the more reserved members of the cabinet trying to articulate reasons why this is probably not such a good idea.
And presumably there would have been a danger to the bombers as well. I mean, a village is a pretty tiny target, isn't it?
There were certainly 100 bombers would be required, a low attack. Two-thirds of them would carry incendiaries, and there were assumptions the number would be destroyed, both going there and coming back. This was one of the main reasons why I think the attack never happened, apart from the moral objections that were put forward by Attlee.
And one of the things that fascinates me as well from these documents is that anybody who has this idea that everything was minutely planned and there was this sort of kind of grand plan of exactly what we're going to do, how we're going to respond to each situation, this sort of record of what was going on at the cabinet meeting shows that this wasn't the case, was it? Decisions were made ad hoc, there was a lot of emotion, there was a lot of argument. There wasn't really a grand plan on how the war's going to continue, how we're going to win the war.
No, it's, I think that comes out very well in these documents, in that it demonstrates, what it demonstrates is that the Churchill was very much in control of the cabinet, but also he would at least bow to the majority view, because what we have is we have these various discussions which take place, and at the end of this we get Churchill basically saying, my instinct is very much for this operation, but very much at the end he goes, I submit unwillingly to the view of the cabinet against. And once we've got to that, we move on to the next section on the agenda, which is India, then followed by the Levant-Caspian Front, and then a report on public feeling. So what we get is Churchill in many ways coming forward. I think he'd had a meeting with Benesch, who was obviously distraught about all of this and had demanded that Britain take action. And I think Churchill was very keen to demonstrate that Britain would support the Czechs in this.
Stephen Twigg from Britain's National Archives in the London suburb of Kew. So the revenge attacks that Churchill wanted never did take place, but Lidice did come to play a crucial role in the war effort.
V Americe pojmenovali jménem Lidice moderní hornickou vesnici. Všude po světě, v Mexiku, v Brazílii a jiných.
Here's a wartime newsreel describing how in the United States a new mining community is being named after Lidice. Villages were also renamed in Mexico and Brazil, and even children were baptized with the name. Lidice came to embody what the Allies were fighting for. And Churchill himself benefited from the outrage caused by Lidice. The village had been destroyed in response to the assassination of Reinhard Heydrich by Czechs parachuted from Britain into the occupied Czech lands. Heydrich had recently been put in charge of the so-called Protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia, and in that short time had earned the nickname the Butcher of Prague. But the fact that his assassination had been organised from London had led to some unease in British political circles. Czech military historian Eduard Stehlík.
Je známá taková zajímavost, že bezprostředně po atentátu na Heydricha, kdy se vešlo ve známost, že...
Just after the Heydrich assassination, when it became clear that it had been carried out by members of the Czechoslovak army in exile, some MPs wanted to bring the issue up in Parliament. Rather strangely, they accused Churchill of being willing to take part in contract killings. So when the Germans carried out the appalling massacre in Lidice, Churchill's hands were no longer tied. Suddenly it was clear that whatever might be done against the Nazis was justifiable. I can understand why he wanted to avenge Lidice by destroying three German villages. It would be a warning to the Germans, as no one knew when they might repeat the atrocity, as indeed they did in the case of the village of Ležáky.
Eduard Stehlík is enthusiastic about the publication of Sir Norman Brooke's cabinet notebooks, especially about the insights they give into the way that Churchill thought and worked.
Vzhledem k tomu, jak nesmírně silnou a mimořádně silnou tedy osobností byl Winston Churchill.
Because Churchill was such a strong and extraordinary person, I find these documents fascinating in giving us a broader picture of his personality, even though there are already a lot of biographies. These are further gems fitting into the mosaic, which makes history interesting and attractive, even for ordinary people.
dělá tu historii zajímavou a poutavou, myslím, i pro normální lidi.
And you can find transcripts of the War Cabinet notebooks on the internet at www.nationalarchives.gov.uk.